Welcome to the Oakland Church Podcast. You're about to hear another inspirational message from Associate Pastor Jeremy Barkley. It's our prayer that this message encourages you and strengthens you. For more information and for other resources, visit us at oaklandonline.org.
All right. Well, good morning, church. God is good, and all the time. I just decided that jacket wasn't happening. Yeah, it was getting a little hot in here. I'm just saying that's Holy Spirit fire, and so I'm going to grab the mic. If I get excited, the front row, just watch out. It might go through, you know, I might throw it or something, but I think we're going to be good. I'm excited to continue our series, Maranatha. I've been extremely blessed and just really stretched in this series to really start to think of eternity and to really walk in that revelation that thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven, that eternity begins now. Amen? Eternity begins now. I have eternity living within me. I was made on purpose, with a purpose, and so were you. And so today we're going to look at rejoicing. Last week we looked at remorse, and so the associate pastor gets to look at rejoicing, right? And so that's a good word. That's a good word. I get the easier assignment, hopefully. And if you have your Bibles, we're going to be at Revelation chapter 19, verses 1 through 2 and 5 through 8. Hear the word of the Lord. After these things, I heard a loud voice of a great multitude in heaven saying, Alleluia, salvation and glory and honor and power belong to the Lord our God. For true and righteous are his judgments, because he has judged the great harlot who corrupted the earth for her fornication, and he has avenged on her the blood of his servants shed by her. Then a voice came from the throne saying, Praise our God, all you his servants, those who fear him, both small and great. And I heard, as it were, a voice of a great multitude, a sound of many waters, and a sound of a mighty thundering saying, Hallelujah! For the Lord God omnipotent reigns. Let us be glad and rejoice and give him glory. For the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his wife has made herself ready. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, Lord, we just declare, Lord, in this space and in this time, that our hearts are ready to receive a good word in good soil. Father, Lord, I pray for clarity and confidence, grace and humility. Hide me behind the cross, Lord. I pray, Lord, that every distraction that, Lord, has corrupted and bound up our joy and the action of rejoicing, Father, Lord, I pray that it would fall off like chaff under the sound of your word. We bless you, Lord. Fill this space, fill our hearts, Lord. We pray in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, Amen. You know, sometimes I seemingly believe I'm still a very young pastor, I think that I can sometimes overthink this thing called preaching. You know, sometimes you have this idea that you have to come up with something profound or look at it at a different angle or turn the scriptures upside down. And what I'm learning is you just need to let truth stand alone and let the Holy Spirit do the work. Right? Some sow the seeds, others water it, but the Lord is the one who brings the increase. Amen? And so sometimes simple is all the Holy Spirit needs to speak and spark a flame in the soul of the child of God. You know, I remember just, starting ministry 12 and 13 years ago and thinking that it was my job to convince them. And now I kind of realize it is the Holy Spirit's job and responsibility to convict them. And not only convict them, but compel them. And so as we think of heaven, and as we start to press into what glory will look like, we absolutely live into that image of it today. Sometimes we allow our preferences. You know, all of us have those preferences of what we think heaven will look like. And if you're not careful, you will allow those preferences and a limited perspective of what you've experienced here upon the earth to shape the purpose of heaven. Can I just decree today and declare today a big equal sign that the purpose of heaven will be the glory of God? It's all for his glory. He pours out his glory on us so that we can give it back to him. And sometimes I think that we have these encounters and we have these experiences and our traditions and even the way that we reason Scripture or reason God. And what we do is we create this image of what heaven will look like. And some of us may think, you know, I remember when I was a young boy and I remember thinking, you know, heaven's going to be pretty boring because all we're going to do is sing hymns all day, right? Now, don't you stop. You know, you thought the same thing. Don't judge me, right? You thought the same thing. I remember thinking, what are we going to do? We're just going to sing and go to church all day. And then I started having this revelation, you know, that all of the good stuff goes to heaven. And I remember thinking that there would be basketball courts that just filled the streets of gold, right? And you would never have to sit out. And you would never be picked last in the name of Jesus, right? I remember thinking that there's going to be vending machines with Chick-fil-A sandwiches and they're going to be free, right? And I still believe that one day, every man on earth and every woman on earth will have a six pack in Jesus' name, right? A glorified body. No. Here's the thing. Sometimes our preferences begin to shape our purpose. And our purpose upon the earth is to reflect the image of Jesus and give glory to God. And heaven will be no different. Heaven will be no different. And it will be easy in his presence. Amen. Rejoice or rejoicing, here's a couple definitions. It's the product of our justification and the manifestation of his presence. It is to feel or to show great joy or delight. Rejoicing is an outward expression of an inward joy. It is our unconditional, hear this, our unconditional response to the nature and the character of God Almighty. Neither joy or rejoicing is circumstantial. Because rejoicing is joy in action. Rejoicing is typically a result of a product of a given outcome or a result in our favor. And I just want to tell you today that if you have received Jesus, he has received you. And if you have the blood of the Lamb on your account, you have won the victory. And I declare that that will be the mantra, that will be the mission statement of our house. So why don't we? Why don't we experience joy? Why don't we experience the manifestation of rejoicing? I believe it's because the Spirit flows in as we are in alignment and submission and agreement with the source. What did Jesus say? He said, remain in me, and what? I will remain in you. So what does that mean? Don't move. I am the vine, you are the branches. Don't move. I used to think that whenever we talked in Scripture about the baptism of the Holy Spirit or being continually filled with the Holy Spirit, that meant that I just kind of ran like I do sheets into the fountain and I got filled up and then I left and I went and like used up all the gas and used up all the resources that I had until I was running on empty and I had to run back to the source again. But now I'm learning that is not a life in Christ. Amen. That's not what Jesus died on the cross for, is so that I would live in suffering and in the in just striving for more. He said that I should remain in him. And if I'm remaining in him, I will stay submitted under his flow. Because everything flows from the head down. Leadership, anointing, blessing flow from the head down, and so does rejoicing. And so does rejoicing. And so as I remain in him, he pours into me, and those that I have proximity to will live out of the overflow. They will live from the overflow. Streams of living water will flow from me and to them, because I'm only the conduit. He is the source, amen? He is the source. We need to be aligned. And so we are intentionally connected and woven together and tethered at the core. Not only in our natural beings, but also in our spiritual existence. If the core isn't strong, faith, hope, and love, the rest of the body will experience a full range of emotions and lack of motion. Amen? I've been having some real hard times with my back over the last week. In fact, last Sunday, after the second service, I went directly to the chiropractor. And I've been hurting all morning because I was in the car for 20 hours and in three different beds this week. And that's not for sympathy, but somebody pray for me because the enemy's just trying to distract me. But I am learning about the need to have strength in the core. Because when the core is strong, everything else can flow. And so I was at the chiropractor last Sunday, and I was telling him, he says, where's the pain? And I was saying, it's right here in the small of the back, right there in the SI joint where it's always been. And I said, but it's kind of weird. Recently, I've been having like this really intense, sharp pain between my shoulder blades. What's that about? And he said, you know, Jeremy, he said, and it was pretty profound. He said, our bodies, our natural response to being out of alignment is to protect and compensate. And they call this gating. When the core is out of alignment, the rest of the body says, hold up, things aren't stable, things aren't aligned. And so what I'm going to do here is I got to protect everything else from coming out into alignment. And so muscles tense up and things start to contract and constrict and restrict. And so what happens is we start to gate. And the Holy Spirit spoke to me in that moment, and I was starting to think about how we rejoice and why don't we see so much rejoicing in the church. And it's because our core, our spiritual man, is not in alignment with the will of God. And that's why so many believers are still bound. And you see so many people in the church with frowns, right? And they're not living in the joy. They're not living in the excess. And the reason why is because they're gating. They're gating. You're restricting. You're binding up. I wonder how many of us have never really experienced the fullness of joy that we have found in the Lord because our heart is out of alignment with His Spirit. Therefore, our soul has become a gated community, bound up, restricted, guarded, and protected. Can I tell you something about gated communities? Gates serve two purposes. They keep things from coming in, but they also restrict things from going out. And if you are gated in your soul today, you are gating in your joy. You're gating in your love. You know what? You can tell when someone has peace because it's not gated. There are 12 gates in the kingdom of heaven. Read Revelation. And I'll tell you what, when we join him and meet him in the air and Maranatha comes to fruition, you know what's going to happen? Every gate will be opened. Swing wide, ye heavenly gates. And I pray the gate of my soul swings open. Lord, that what you've done in me will be seen, and without even speaking a word out of my mouth. Those are the best testimonies. Those are the best testimonies, the ones that can be seen and not necessarily heard. Can I just encourage you today that in glory, you will be gloriously free. And you won't even have to try. You hear that, church? Your striving's done in glory. You'll be gloriously free. You won't have to try. The gates will be open. Freedom will be your mindset. And rejoicing will be your response. Because you will be fully aware of everything he has done and has accomplished through Christ Jesus. Swing wide, ye heavenly gates. Swing wide, ye heavenly gates. This morning we sang a song, and some of you may know this song. It's an old hymn, When We All Get to Heaven. Amen. What a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus, what will we do? We will sing and we will shout the victory. Amen. And I'm going to tell you right now, we can sing and shout now. We have the victory in the name of Jesus. And when we see him face to face, we will rejoice. Even those of you that don't know how to shout, you're going to shout. You're going to shout. Three aspects and three applications of rejoicing. Number one, rejoicing looks like. It looks like an expectant husband receiving his bride dressed in white. In Revelation 19, verses 7 through 9, it says, let us be glad and rejoice and give him glory, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his wife has made herself ready. And to her it was granted to be an array of fine linen, clean and bright, for the fine linen of the righteous acts of the saints. And then he said, right, blessed are those who are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb. If you've ever been married, maybe I shouldn't say that. Can I just tell you that I will never forget how beautiful Heather was when she walked down the aisle that day. But can I also tell you, I'll never forget how she looked, but I'll never forget how she looked at me. And it will be the same when we, the bride of Christ, dressed in white, have the veil removed one final time, and we see him face to face. Every eye will gaze upon him, and we will rejoice, and it will look like a marriage banquet feast. There are no worries at the wedding. There's all the worry in beforehand, right? There's all the planning before. There's all the stress before. There's all the what's it going to look like before. But I'm telling you, that's gone on the day. It's gone because whatever you have planned is going to happen. And here's the thing. He's planning the wedding. He's planning the wedding. And we are the bride of Christ. Rejoicing looks like an overjoyed father running towards his wayward son. You know, this morning, Leah Thompson, one of the baby girls, she came off the stage and from the choir, and the little girl ran to her. And I started to remember when they used to do that with me. They used to. You did. You did. You used to think I was cool. Back in the day, you did. And Zach was the one. Zach has always just had this, like, he's like gloriously oblivious, you know? And I love that about him. He's just so pure-hearted. And I remember, like, on a Sunday morning that I would come to the first service, Heather would come to the second. That's when both services were upstairs. And I remember, like, I would be done preaching, or Pastor Randy would be done preaching, and we would be in the front there. And here's all I'd have to do. Somebody might need to help me back up, but... I used to sit here like this, and I'd be, come on. I'd be like, come on, man. Look at him. Don't come, all right? He's like, come on. And he used to weave, because it didn't matter what anyone else thought until he was in the presence of his father. Isn't that beautiful? You know what? In John chapter 15, it says that there was a father who waited for a wayward son, and it says this. He said to him, bring out the best robe and put it on him. Put the ring on his hand and sandals on his feet. Put the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For my son who was dead is now alive again. He was lost, and now he's found. And they began to what? Rejoice and be merry. Can I just tell you this? There are times when the son runs to us, but in that narrative, the father ran to the son, and that's rejoicing. And can I tell you, there are some of you, I know that you've been praying hard and you're losing hope and you've been holding on to a promise that there's a wayward son or a wayward daughter that you know has good seed in them. You know it, right? You know what's in their heart, but they're walking in another direction. Can I just tell you, rejoice now. Rejoice now. Don't stop looking for them. Don't stop praying for them. And when they come, don't ask them where they've been. Just put the robe on them. Just put the ring on them. Put the sandals on their feet. Treat them like the son or daughter that they are, because here's, all of us have strayed, all of us have fallen, all of us have went into sin, but by the grace of God we can rejoice that we have been received again. Amen. That's the story of the cross, of salvation, of redemption. That's what we live for. That's what rejoicing looks like. It looks like a father waiting on a wayward son and running towards him. It looks like a freedom, the freedom of a prisoner being released from jail. You know, John was in jail. And there was a season, there was a time when he was kind of like asking some questions. He's like, I didn't really think that it would look this way. But Jesus says, you're seeing it from the wrong perspective. You're seeing it from inside the prison. You're not seeing it from outside. And here's what he told him. He said, go tell John that the things that you have seen and heard, the blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the poor have heard the gospel preached to them. You see, when joy goes forth, prisoners come out. See, that's what happens. See, he doesn't see it any longer. He doesn't see the sentence of man. Can I just say that again? He doesn't see your condemnation. He has separated it as far as the east is from the west. That is infinity. They will never touch. East and west will never touch. And neither will your former transgression to his righteousness in Christ Jesus. Amen. And when we see him in heaven, all of that is gone. It's gone now. But he's not going to pull that up and be like, you know what? When Christ sees, when God sees you, he sees Jesus. And that's the beauty of the story of redemption and rejoicing. Number two, rejoicing sounds like trumpets and exhortation and lamenting and also new life. I have written down here, sorrow turning to joy. How many of you have had that experience? When the Lord takes and just flips it in Jesus' name. A baby's first cry. Isn't that something? You know, there's times when a mother will acknowledge the pain that's in front of them, but they will focus on the joy. Amen? They will focus on the joy. It says in Scripture, in John chapter 16, it says, a woman a woman when she is in labor has sorrow because her hour has come. But as soon as she has given birth to the child, she no longer remembers the anguish for joy that the human being has been born and come into the earth. Therefore, have no sorrow, for we will see you again, and your heart will rejoice, and for your joy no one will take from you. Here's the thing. I'm so glad I never had to give birth, but I'm so glad I got to witness it. Because, boy, the end is better than the beginning. Right? And like, God knew what he was doing. And yeah, that was part of the curse, and that was part of our fallen nature. But you know what? New life always outweighs old pain. You know, Matt and Allie, and Allie's not here right now, but I was just thinking about today and everything that you've done, everything that you've been through in the last 3 years. And I just, you know, the enemy saw you put a stake in the ground 3 years ago, and today was the fruition of that. But I just felt like the Lord was saying, he was saying this. He was saying, you can't fight tomorrow's giants with yesterday's provision. And so never get caught or distracted in the battles of the past. The Lord says, I'm entering you in. I'm bringing you into rest. There will be battles to come, but there will be fresh provision for that season. All right? And that's not just a word for you, but that's a word for the house, because there's new life coming. But what happens is the enemy wants you caught up. He wants you caught up in the old and filthy rags, in the pain of yesterday. Right? Rejoicing looks a lot like new life. It also sounds like a new song. How many of you know that the old songs will be there, the now songs will be there, and the new songs will be there? I said that in the first service, and they're like, ah, oh. Right? Because they want the hymns, right? That's what the Lord has moved, but there's a new song upon the earth. Here's the thing. Old, now, new. Just sing. Just rejoice. Because it's not about you. It's not about your preference. It's about his glory. It's about rejoicing. It's about seeing the one who paid it all and then walking into his kingdom. Amen? It's not our kingdom. It's his. Last but not least, rejoicing is aimed towards, and we know this is like common knowledge, but it's aimed towards Jesus. You know, there are six passages that I found where there's been a revelation or there's been an encounter with an angel, and human beings have bowed down to worship the angel. And every time the response of the angel was like, no, get up, face the other direction, right? Their response to the revelation was truth, but their posture was false. And the same thing happened to John, the beloved, the one that walked with him, who was so confident in his relationship with Jesus that he says, yeah, I'm the one he loves. But he gets it wrong. Twice in Revelation, you see him bow down to angels. In chapter 19 of Revelation, it says, and I fell at the feet and I worshiped him. And he said unto me, see, do not do that. I am a fellow servant and of my brethren. There is a testimony of Jesus. Worship God. For the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. He says, you know what? Get up. Get up. I know that you just saw this glorious vision, this promise of what's to come, but make sure you know where it comes from. Can I just tell you that we need to make sure that we don't worship the messenger? Right? Because we still have graven images today, and a lot of times we call them pastor, and we call them worship pastor, and we call them elders, right? But here's the thing. If they're not following Jesus, you're not following them, okay? And if they're not following Jesus, you ain't going to be rejoicing, because there will be no joy. There will be no fruit of the Spirit. There will be no blessing, right? If we're not following Jesus, somebody say, hey, you took the wrong turn. Because we are aimed towards the one. We are looking at the throne, amen? That's where rejoicing goes to. So John may have gotten that wrong, but he did get this right. He did know when. He did know that he didn't have to wait for the vision to come to fruition. He knew that when he saw the vision, it was time to worship. Because here's what worship is. Worship is worth-ship. He is totally worth it. He deserves it all. He is worthy of it all. Worship is worth-ship. Remember that. It's not performance. It's not karaoke. It's not anything horizontal. It's vertical in its nature. And so I want to encourage you today that it is the season to rejoice. While we were gone in North Carolina, several pastors, there were 45 pastors and leaders from all over the nation. But there was a brother of mine that was next to me. His name's Rick Smith. And he gave this word, and he didn't know that I was preaching on rejoicing, but he gave this word, and I said, can you write that down? Because I really just want to, you know, impart that to our church right now. Because you know what? These are some days ahead of us, aren't they? We have some days ahead of us, and some may say they're uncertain, and some may say we don't know what's going to happen, but I know who's leading us, and I know the author, and the author's good. And so here's the word of the Lord. It says, this is the time of rejoicing. Weeping may endure for the night, but joy comes in the morning. And you shall go out with joy and be led forth in peace. The world may be in turmoil, and things may be tumultuous in your life, but this is the time of rejoicing. He desires that we rejoice him in all situations. The kingdom of God is at hand. The kingdom of God is at hand. What did Jesus preach on? Right? He said the kingdom of God is at hand. He has released his spirit upon his house. So what does that mean? Thy kingdom has come on earth as it is in heaven. Let's start to walk it out. And let's start to make it happen so that people can see Jesus here and know him there. Amen? If we could have our worship team come, I just want to pray for you. If you are in a place this morning where you need encouragement, maybe you need prayer. Maybe you don't even know how to spell rejoicing. Don't leave. You hear me? Don't leave. You should never leave church the same that you walked in. You should never. So don't do it today. Heavenly Father, Lord, we bless you and we worship you and we thank you for your presence. We thank you, Lord, that we can rejoice, Lord, because the story is good, because the author is good. Father, Lord, I pray for those under my voice, Father, Lord, that have been discouraged and heavy and broken and weary, Father, Lord. And maybe even today, Lord, they're just carrying, Lord, a heavy baggage or a heavy yoke. Lord, I pray, Lord, that you would destroy it by your anointing. Lord, your word says that the anointing destroys the yoke. Your presence destroys the yoke. And Lord, we pick up your yoke because it is easy and your burden is light. Lord, we love you and we rejoice. We shout and we dance and we sing. Because you are King. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for listening to this message from Oakland Church. For more information and for other resources, visit us at oaklandonline.org.